This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1556. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded March 16th, the Accent Station news from Antarctica, Australia, Bulgaria, Nam, Canada, Cuba, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Ethiopia, France, Guyana, India, Indonesia, Iran, especially Japan, Papua New Guinea, Sweden, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Yet another week has gone by and still no sign of the reactivation of LRA 36 Antarctica on 15476 as of March 15th. But we do have an update about why we're not hearing it yet from Roberto Scaglioni in Sicily. He says they have not yet started. They are in trouble because Esperanza base is currently in oversupply for the presence of staff assigned to other bases, and they're waiting for the next ship to continue their journey. This should be the next weekend. So the start date is now expected to be Monday, March 21st, most likely between 1230 and 1500 UT. Last year, broadcasting was on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, although during the final month of broadcast, they became Monday through Friday. During holidays, the program is not aired, and there is a holiday on March 24th and 25th, Thursday and Friday. So if they do start on Monday, they'll be off the air again on Thursday and Friday. Our contributor, Marcello Caneva, spoke with one of the speakers. They are just the wives of military personnel who are entrusted with that task. Thanks to Roberto Scaglioni for that news about Antarctica. Last week we had news that the low-power Sydney, Australia shortwave station on 3210 was back on the air. And this week we have news that the other frequency, owned by Craig Allen's shortwave station, 5050, was testing on the air. Apparently, when 3210 was off, although it seems there are two different transmitters, you should check both frequencies. Ian Baxter in New South Wales, who's very concerned with the exact location of transmitter sites, says there are two different ones. 5050 is listed for St. Mary's near Sydney, and 3210 at Schofields, S-C-H-O, Fields, also in the Sydney area. They're about 10 kilometers apart. Ian was hearing the transmission on 5050 around 11 UT on March 9th with nonstop English rock songs. And then he found some posts on the aus.radio.broadcast newsgroup from Craig Allen, owner of the stations. This also was later on March 9th, I think, who said they were testing on 5050 with 200 watts and an NVIS antenna system, dipole low to ground, 80% modulation with rock music on a one-hour loop, and asking for reports. They were licensed to use 400 watts on that frequency and plan to use it only in the daytime. The tests continue to be on and off, but they were audible in the daytime in the local area. And then on March 12th, they went back to 3210. And more recently, they were running a loop of a sermon rather than music. Ron Howard in California has been trying for these, and on 3210 March 12th, he was getting a fairly good signal with a carrier, but was not able to pull any audio between 1149 and 1446 UT. Here's an unusual catch, but Jari Savolainen was able to figure it out thanks to his experiences as a marine radio operator. March 10th at 1920, he was hearing Radio Bulgaria in Russian on 5481 upper sideband, parallel to their regular frequency 6200. He checked it again three nights later, March 12th at 1945, and then it was cutting off and back on rapidly. And he was hearing both Radio Bulgaria from 6200 and a distorted program from BBC Arabic on 6195. So Apparently, this is some utility voice link whose uplink, for some reason, is on 6200 and picks up also splatter from 6195. In other words, relaying what's around 6200. The higher frequencies are starting to open up. In Texas, Spencer G. Shawley reports to SWL at QTH.net, I heard a pirate the Northern Relay Service on 27990 AM, March 13th, around 1950. Doesn't mention what the programming was. I've also been hearing some amateur activity on 10 meters. There are lots of beacons for propagation purposes around 28.1 or 28.2 megahertz. One I ran across on 28183 was Victor Yankee Zero Sierra November Oscar, sending its CW call over and over, March 12th at 2143. This turns out to be in Iqaluit, Nunavut, way up north. However, that wasn't really a tip-off to where I would be hearing other ham stations, as shortly after that, I was getting a couple of SSB hams on 10 meters from São Paulo, Brazil. With some amusement, I've noticed that WYFR has been colliding with five-digit Spanish YL spy numbers on 7520, March 12th at 0225, both of them with strong signals and making a slight subaudible heterodyne. There was a previous collision between the spies and WYFR on 6875, as I recall. I wonder if anyone is paying attention. Cuba is scheduled to go on daylight shifting time of UT-4 on Sunday, March 20th. That's 1 week after the USA, just to show they're different. And if previous plans are carried out, Radio Havana Cuba Spanish programming at least will move one UT hour earlier. At least we know it moved one UT hour later last fall when Cuba went off DST. But I discovered already on March 13th that one of the three times for the Sunday-only Esperanto service from Havana had already been shifted one UT hour later, 1600 UT on 11760. Last week I noted that Radio Africa Equatorial Guinea had not been heard for at least a month on 15190, but it was back on March 12th. Brian Alexander, Pennsylvania, heard it at 1750 UT. Apparently with an English preacher, but poor muffled audio. And later on it was mixing with Brazil, as usually happens. I also heard both stations a bit later. Equatorial Guinea is still carrying Tony Alamo. His program started at 2156 UT. It was off the air about an hour later, leaving Radio Confidencia Brazil in the clear. On March 10th, Torsten Hallmann in Germany told us, first noted on March 6th and several times since, Radio Ethiopia on 9700 until sign-off at 1700, paralleled to another transmitter on the next frequency up, 9705, both almost equally strong. This is probably because Eritrea was using 9700 and Ethiopia went on that frequency to block it. Bill Bingham in South Africa heard what is believed to be Ethiopia's Voice of the Tigray Revolution on 5935, March 10th at 1832, identified only by paralleling it to 5950 until 1850. Mike Cooper in Georgia reports labor unions called a strike at Radio France International beginning Monday, March 14th at 23 UT to protest reforms including merging RFI's staff with the France 24 television channel and moving RFI to the Paris suburbs. The strike is to continue indefinitely, according to AFP and other press reports. This is the latest in a long string of off-and-on strikes at RFI, and when that happens, they're usually substituting usual programming with lots more music of a wide variety. The only shortwave frequency from GBC, Voice of Guyana, 3290, is being reported with better reception than usual. Even I have been able to hear some words in English coming through, probably during a BBC Relay. Trouble is, there's always, or almost always, a rather strong carrier, 1 or 2 kilohertz on the low side. So you really need to avoid that. But modulation and signal strength from Guyana itself seem to have improved, so give it a try. Harold Sellers in British Columbia, for example, reports that March 10th at 0727 with BBC Relay of Outlook, he needs to tune up to 3292 to avoid the interference. He says one of the strongest signals I've ever heard from them. ID as VOG, the voice of Guyana. It's quite a wide variety of programming besides BBC Relays. They have Christian programs and Hindi music. It is 24 hours, and you might expect best reception overnight, but Marconi in Ontario also reports Guyana 3290 March 10th at 2316 UT. With an easy listening vocal, Caribbean accented speakers, mentioning the voice of Guyana. He says you can still DX when the ionosphere acts up, you just have to look around the bands a bit. Mark Carlson in Massachusetts, who says he's always enjoyed World of Radio, also reports the station on 3290 at 0100 0230, which must have been Guyana. From Masset, British Columbia, Walt Samaniv on another de-expedition to his island cottage says probably the best I've heard Guyana, March 13th at 0247 on 3289.99. And Ron Howard in California reports another day of solid reception from Guyana, March 15th at 0811. Clear coverage of the Bangladesh versus Netherlands World Cup cricket match. Ron Howard has also been hearing World Cup cricket coverage from all India radio stations on 60 meters, such as March 9th, 10th, and 12th, around 14 UT. For example, the ones on 4810, 4880, 4910, 5010, and 5040. At Ocean Beach, San Francisco, Ron Howard has also been having outstanding propagation from Radio Republik Indonesia. On March 15th at 1200, a good time to listen around, he heard the Jakarta News Relay on Palangkaraya 3325, Ternate 3345, Makassar 4750, I'm rounding off the frequencies, also on Jakarta 9680, but on this occasion, Kendari 3995 was off the air. And another signal from Vimana 4870 was too weak to be to confirm whether it was parallel to the others. Chris Greenway in England reported on March 9th, Iranian television on medium wave 1530, possibly fearing it may lose its place on Arab satellite providers. The audio track of Al Alam TV, which is Iran's answer to Al Jazeera, is now heard on 1530 for the Gulf states. Al Alam says the 1530 relay is at 1430 to 2230 local time. If they mean Iran time, that would be 11 to 19 UT, at least before they go on summertime. WRTH lists an Iranian transmitter on 1530 in YAZD, but that's well inland, so he assumes this one is coming from a new transmitter closer to the Gulf. Mano Rigola in Finland says he was also hearing this with news in Arabic at 2200 March 9th. Many more new A11 schedules are showing up, effective March 27th. Wolfgang Büschel has the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, showing that they're planning to use the 11-meter band for South and Southeast Asia in English at 10:30, 25820. I'd say they're quite optimistic, but that certainly gives us something to try for. As I mentioned, even the 10-meter band has been active at times, and it's parallel to 21630. While I'm at it, I'll give their other English frequencies for the new season at 15:30. On 9600 and 11945, at 1930 on 6205, 7215, 9780 and 9800, 5940 as well, which is the Lithuanian relay. And finally, the so-called Voice of Justice for North America at 0130 on 9605 and 11920. Both of those are new, finally getting away from collisions on both their winter frequencies. Or maybe not, we don't yet know if there'll be some new collisions. You are tuned for World of Radio number 1556. A great deal more information is available on our website, worldofradio.org. Look for the link to DX Listening Digests, upon which this program is based. Your contributions, always welcome, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702 USA, or via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com, that method used by Frank Katzelle, K-A-T-Z-E-L-E. And now we come to Japan. As always, when confronted by a major disaster, we are also confronted by information overload from all media, notably television and the internet, let alone radio and shortwave. So I will attempt to hit a few high points concerning broadcast coverage relating to the event. There are two shortwave broadcasters from Japan, Radio Japan, or NHK World, of course, and the private station Radio Nikkei. Soon after I heard about the quake, I checked out Nikkei on 9595, March 11th at 0754, but they were only playing instrumental music. It was about 2 hours after it happened. One might have expected something more pertinent. And at that time, there was no English schedule from Radio Japan, but their Japanese service was coming through on 9750. That runs very long hours, although intended for Asia, from 07 to 17 UT. There are only two remaining English relays of Radio Japan via Canada, at 05 to 5:30 UT on 6110 and 12 to 12:30 on 6120. And there is no English scheduled on any frequency all the way between 1430 and 0500. Sometimes we're able to hear some of the English directed elsewhere at 1400, 21560 via France, or 9875 direct. Satellite monitor Mark Fay in New South Wales reports that the normally encrypted NHK premium service was changed to free-to-air, so anyone could get it if they can pick up satellites. During the early hours following the quake and the incipient tsunamis, Radio Australia and Radio New Zealand International were notable for their coverage of the events in Japan, and of course they were in English. However, it wasn't too much longer before Radio Australia was back to much of its normal programming, including Saturday Night Country. While Salmaniv of Victoria, B.C. was on the way to his island retreat further north in British Columbia, when all this happened, and when he got there, he found that there were signs of tsunami, but only a few feet above the shoreline at his location. And he proceeded to pull in lots of Japanese medium wave stations, as usual, including NHK2 in Sendai. It was still on the air, 1089 kilohertz, March 12th at 1441. After the tsunami had hit them, and they were carrying further tsunami warning broadcasts. He also recorded multilingual warnings on JOAK in Tokyo, 693 kilohertz, including even in Portuguese. Well, that's really not so surprising if you realize that lots of Japanese migrated to Brazil, and many of them have come back, presumably with Portuguese as their prime language. Japan Premium notified us of emergency ham frequencies, 7030 and 7043, according to JA3RL. And of course, when that happens, other hams are asked to avoid those frequencies, keeping them clear for emergency traffic. Also, thanks to Colin Neal in BC, who forwarded info from Japan about 7030 related to the earthquake and tsunami. And even more emergency frequencies came from the A1 Club in Japan, via Spain, via Enrique Wembarger in the Condish list. Hams asked to keep clear 5 or 10 kilohertz from these, 3525, 14-100, 21-200, 28-200, plus on 6 and 2 meters and 4-30. Takahito Akabayashi in Japan told us that the time signal station on very low frequency 40 kilohertz JJY, yes, it used to be on shortwave, but no longer, but they turned off their longwave frequency March 12th at 10:46 because the transmitter site is awfully close to the Fukushima nuclear power stations. They have another transmitter, however, at another location on 60 kilohertz, which continues and will maintain radio control clocks at the proper time. Finally, Radio Nikkei is getting into the act on March 15th, Seichi Hasegawa in Japan, and I'm glad that all our usual DX correspondents seem to be doing fine. Reported that Nikkei Program 1 on 3925, 6055, and 9595 is relaying the earthquake disaster info program from Radio Fukushima, JOWR 1458 kilohertz, between March 15th and 31st on a very specific schedule. At 0605 to 07 UT on March 16th and 18th, 10:05 to 10:55 on the 16th, 9:30 to 10:55 on the 17th, 10:45 to 11:30 on the 18th, 9:30 to 10:30 on the 19th, and 10:35 to 11:30 on March 20th, further scheduling not yet decided. As for Libya, things seem to be about the same as last week. The new frequency of 7500 alternates with the new 8500 kilohertz. That seems to be the government station relaying medium wave 972, although you never know when the rebels might take over, or vice versa. Voice of Africa from the Great Jamahiriya, the external service in English from slightly after 14 UT until 1600, continues to be heard on 17725 and not on 21695. As I may have mentioned before, the modulation was just about zero on 17725 for several days, but it revived on March 11th. Still with the same old boring Green Book programming and little, if anything, about the current situation. The 8500 and 7500 most are reported by listeners around Europe. However, S. Hasegawa in Japan heard 8500 in Arabic March 10th at 1750 with a weak signal. Ron Howard in California has also been pulling in the Papua New Guinea station, including Radio Fly, which I've not seen reported lately. I wonder if they've been off the air. 5960, around 1000 UT on March 14th. He says reception depends on how much adjacent channel interference there is. Also March 15th at 1000. And the even more difficult to DX in North America, One Talk Radio Light, 7325. Heard March 11th, 0805 to 0915 with fair strength, with Christian programming in English. At 0902, however, they were relaying NBC News parallel to 3385. But it was best on March 14th between 0743 and 0935. After 0930, there's co-channel interference from China, and later on, Canada as well. More about the Radio Nord revival in Sweden on 6060. They were heard on March 8th and 9th, but it seems they're planning some further broadcasts and also medium wave 1512, plus 4536. The third harmonic of that medium wave frequency was being reported on March 12th by Mauno Riitala in Finland, Anders Hultqvist as well, Thomas Nilsson in Sweden, during the local afternoon and evening. Also reaching the UK, says Alan Pennington, as well as Mike Barraclough. Via Mike Terry, a story by John Plunkett in The Guardian of 9 March, BBC World Service Arabic cuts not as severe as planned. Peter Horrocks has indicated a further U-turn over planned cuts in response to political crises in Africa and the Middle East. BBC Arabic was due to bear a large proportion of the cuts aimed at saving 46 megapounds a year. Horrocks told MPs reduction in distribution of Arabic would not be as severe as originally planned. Gilles Letourneau in Montreal reminds us of two more frequencies to check when the MUF is up. The FM relays on 11 meters of two Fort Worth, Texas stations, WBAP on 25910 and KSCS on 25990. He was hearing them both around 2000 UT March 9th. Some notes on World of Radio scheduling. Now that we're on daylight shifting time, on WBCQ, our time is Wednesdays at 21:15 UT on 7415. As of last week, our broadcast on WWRB, which is now UT Fridays at 0330, is only on 2390, the other frequency carrying their promotional loop 5050. And instead of moving to 15825 already, our Friday 2030 UT broadcast on WWCR, it seems we'll remain on 7465 for the rest of March before the change to 15 megahertz. And among the several webcasting stations carrying World of Radio is Radio for Life. Our times there are now UT Fridays at midnight and Saturdays at 1800. You can find it at www.radioforlife.net. Alan Rowe in the UK has found a time when DXing with Coombray is actually on shortwave. UT Sunday at 0730, 13 March on 11565 from WHRI. The chief engineer of the Georgia station on 1540 was so pleased with the results of his DX test last week, which was heard widely in North America and even in Europe, that this weekend he's carrying out one from his other station in Madison, Georgia, WYTH 1250, early Saturday, March 19th, during two different half hours at 5 to 5:30 and 6 to 6:30 UT, or 1 and 2 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. However, this station is only 1 kilowatt instead of 10. It will include Morse code IDs. Reception reports may be sent to starstation@bellsouth.net for an EQSL. Or if you'd like a traditional QSL card, be sure to include return postage to WYTH Radio, Attention DX Test, P.O. Box 3965, Eatonton, Georgia, 31024, EATONTON. Thanks to Jim Pogue for that news. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued March 15th. AN Canises mostly 5 and 2, peaking at 18 and 4 on March 28th. Solar flux dropping from 100 March 18th to 80 on the 22nd and 23rd, and then rising to another peak of 110 March 31st to April 6th. Geomagnetic field mostly quiet, 16 to 27 March. Active to minor storm levels expected, 28 to 31 March. And that's World of Radio number 1556. Glenn Hauser, hoping you've enjoyed the program and will hear me again next week.